Hello, this is Mike Harbath with this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington. This week, we're going to talk about the 10 principles of successfully differentiating and growing your IT services business. And with me for today's broadcast is my partner, Ryan Barnett. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. As a lot of our listeners know, Revenue Rocket is a firm that we really help IT services companies grow by helping them get to that, kind of get them over the next hurdle. So when you're $5 million, it's really hard to get to 10. And when it's 10, it's really hard to get to 20 unless you take a very strategic approach. So typically we help companies either growing through a growth strategy assessment and implementation process, which we dubbed SVP, or we help companies grow through acquisitions. So you can either help accelerate growth through buying another firm or really help by being great at what you do. And in the last 20 years, we've learned quite a few things. So today, we really want to walk through some of the top things that we've seen and love to talk with Mike about kind of the top 10 things that we're seeing to help be successful. And really, the number one thing that we can really offer up as success is that you got to be number one or number two in your market. And Mike, why is that important?
Well, you know, it's important to be relevant. So we think this is around the theory of relevancy. Most buyers want to buy from a firm that is kind of at the top of the list, right? The top of the pack, if you will. The one that is relevant to helping their business the most. Most people think it's just about price, and certainly price is a factor, but relevancy is far more important. And we talk about all kinds of components around relevancy that help you be relevant, to be number one or number two in the market you choose to serve. Probably one of the biggest driving factors in that is eliminating competition through identifying your target market very accurately. And we talk a lot about, you know, specializing in a certain set of technologies or approaches, as well as verticalizing the business as ways in paths to relevancy or becoming number one or number two in the market you choose to serve, for example.
And I think where companies sometimes go awry is that they think they can target everything. So you if you get a big win, that's kind of the next strategy of the day. And in reality, any kind of IT services company has the ability to pick something that they're really good at and target a customer base that has a need for your services. And when you say you're number one or number two, you get to define that market. And we'd much rather have you be the king of a market that's small than if you're a tiny pawn in a market that's gigantic.
Absolutely. I would say that one thing that's fascinating about this concept is that, you know, that any sort of price competition in a sort of, if we can use the red ocean, blue ocean analogy, is a red ocean strategy. It's one that is a race to the bottom, and you have to be able to compete and differentiate in a way that I think is critical, so that you stand out. And so part of that also, you know, is to have a clear and consistent, you know, like number two on our list is to have a clear and consistent, competitive strategy and reputation that's recognizable in your industry position. So, you know, again, back to this, sort of verticalization concept, it becomes much easier to be known for something if you're focused around a vertical, right? A market where you can build sustainable advantage, and be known as the expert, whether it be a managed service provider or a custom app developer or an app implementer, in that market, as the leader in that market. And we've seen over and over, you know, folks that are able to do that effectively, you know, stand out as having the fastest growth rate, but much more importantly, having a much higher profitability in their business. So, you know, profitability trumps growth in our opinion. And certainly being able to be high profit and high growth is, you know, up and to the right is where you want to be. And being able to have that, you know, clear, consistent, competitive strategy, which we believe verticalization is a component of, will help you do that.
Yeah, I think the other key portion to that is companies really struggle when there's a check in front of them. So when starting out, and this is really common in that $2 to $3 million range, you'll do anything for a buck. And anything for a buck really takes away from specialization. And it's hard to move into a strategic position where you can claim market dominance if you're doing anything for everyone. And so the biggest thing, you know, find that strategy, stick to it. You know, be willing to change if the strategy isn't working, but be dedicated towards really picking a market, picking what you're really good at, picking something that you like to do, and avoiding just running after the shiniest nickel that you see along the way.
Yeah, I would also say that, you know, we're big proponents in very aggressive and proactive marketing. And so that's also on our list of sort of top 10 principles. Most IT services business owners have not been very successful in marketing. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think in some cases, the target has not been well defined as to who to market to. Or maybe there's not the knowledge of how to execute well on a comprehensive marketing plan or marketing strategy. But marketing is critical to the success of any fast-growing IT services company and a cornerstone of their ability to scale and grow and to get greenfield customers or net new customers. Oftentimes we see IT services companies who kind of live and die based on reselling their existing customers. And certainly that's table stakes in our opinion. You know, you have to be able to keep and retain and cultivate existing customers. Don't get me wrong. I think that's an important component of any comprehensive business strategy. But your ability to attract and attain new customers is at the cornerstone of your successful growth strategy. And in order to do that, you have to be able to very narrowly direct that marketing to a very specific buyer. And, you know, Ryan, I know you have a lot of experience in this area and love to hear your thoughts about that in the context of IT services.
As long as you can pick a market in which you are the player that allows you to can give you competitive distinction, it gives you kind of an insulation from competing players. So if you can say you're the number one player in a market and you show up at a trade show and every single person at that trade show knows you because this trade show is extremely specialized, you know, it gives you a great latitude to increase the size of your business. You're also addressing the needs of a buyer. So I think oftentimes IT services providers, we get super enamored by the technology that's out there. And we get enamored by the possibilities of there. And we kind of forget, you know, what are my customers suffering through? And is there a common theme that those customers are suffering through that we need to focus on and start to target our services so we can address those needs? And if you find the right need that has an economic consequence, you're no longer selling on price. You're not stuck in the back of the pack. You're not in the middle of things. You're selling to someone that has a need and a budget and is willing to pay for those services. But we have to get out of our own way in following the technology. Instead, we kind of have to follow the problem and adapt to the technology that's out there to go after that. So, yeah, once you find your specialty, you got to stick with it. And that kind of leads to, as you mentioned, Mike, and one of our other parts on the top 10 list is that, you know, if you are specialized, focus on it. Now, this doesn't mean that you abandon every other thing that you do. You know, we often use the analogy, if you're fishing with a lure that's meant to attract northern pike, but a walleye bites, you're still going to reel in the walleye and you might have a great shore dinner. It may not be the pike that you're looking for, but you're still going to be able to take it. But if you have a specialty, make sure you market it. Create that landing page. Create the specialized messaging. Create the product marketing that a target buyer is actually going to understand and run with. So make sure that if you're out there that and you have a focus, promote it to the world. Put it on the front page of your website. This is what we do. Targeted buyers are going to be able to focus in on that. They're going to understand, hey, these companies are for us. In our world, IT services, we only work with IT services companies. And when you claim it to the world, people are going to work with you because they understand that they know the pains that they go through every day. Now, will you lose some, for example, do we do M&A in manufacturing or strategy in manufacturing? Heck no. Do we lose those deals? Every day, I hope so. We're not targeting those companies. So, once you're able to find out who really your best customer is, just be out there, market it, get to the trade shows that are in that market, show up and be really kind of that number one or number two and claim it. I mean, you have the opportunity to define your market so you are number one or number two. And as long as you pick the specialized focus and you go after it. So, feel free to play aggressive offense and build that competitive advantage that allows you to ultimately lead to higher margins.
Yep, absolutely. I think, part of what I think about too is how you package and sell your services, is certainly on our top 10 list. We find a lot of clients and folks that we've worked with in the market who package the client's service based on what the client says they want. And, where that sounds intuitive and sounds like something you should probably do, it does mean in some cases that we use this analogy a lot, that you're building the space shuttle every time that a client asks for a proposal. If you have identified this target market exceptionally well, you should already know what they need and want. It is a situation where you can quickly configure a set of services for them that would be compelling because the problems of, let's say, one accounting firm are probably very similar to the next one. And you shouldn't have to have a science project for developing a proposal. As a matter of fact, we often say that if it takes you longer to develop a proposal or more than, let's say very candidly, a very short period of time, let's say a half hour for a client, then you have an issue, right? You have an issue that you need to address as it either relates to the clarity of the client or the clarity of the problem and, who the client is or the clarity of the problem that needs to get addressed. And so, we call it productization. Productization of a service is an important thing. It's making it easy to buy. And easy to buy services generally are ones that are very similar to one another client to client. Doesn't mean that you're not servicing the client well or that you're just trying to sell them what you have. I think for a lot of technical founders and owners and managers and IT services companies, they bristle at this concept sometimes because they say, well, it doesn't really solve the client's problem. Well, it should certainly solve the client's problem if you're staying in your swim lane and if you've configured that set, those productized set of services so that it aligns to that segment, that market segment's problems overall. Doesn't mean that you can't dial those in a little bit and customize them by adding time or adding some level of service. But you have to start with a platform, and that platform should address 80% of the needs in your market. And you can evaluate, frankly, whether or not you need to go or wade into the 20% even, depending on the velocity of new clients. And Ryan, I don't know if you have any comments on that, but we certainly see that as a common mistake that a lot of service providers make.
Yeah, you can spend too much time carefully crafting a perfect proposal that is different every time. I think that's absolutely killer. So, you may spend a ton of time of work trying to to get a current client to spend more, but it's oftentimes not what gets you in the door. So if you look at the product as offerings, I think part of the struggles that we see every day is that companies don't have a sharp enough wedge that allows them to enter an account. From there, they're not necessarily fully providing a full life cycle of services. So they're missing out on opportunities of, you know, they're perhaps very good at custom application development or very good at cybersecurity or even selling the right products to help a company have secure infrastructure. But if they're not following that up with residual revenue capabilities through sustainment or outsource type offerings, they're leaving a ton on the table. So when you're thinking about growth in that productized offering, it really has to be bifurcated into, one, getting you into account, and two, radiating what's into the account and ensuring that that radiation strategy has revenue streams that are attached to it that are much more than the initial sales price. So adapting your services or your services so they have that product almost like a SaaS type model, you know, monthly recurring or quarterly type recurring, and get you, you know, back in the game is extremely important for continued profitability. Otherwise, you're absorbing your cost to acquire every single time. And that proposal development, for example, creating a snowflake every single time is eats into margins. You know, every half hour that you're spending on that sales proposal could have been a billable half hour somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think we learn a few things from manufacturing here. So, and Brian's heard this many times. I mean, one of my favorite quotes that I think is applicable here is one about Henry Ford, who said you could have any color of Model T as long as it was black. And the reason he said that was because it allowed him the efficiencies within his manufacturing process to build that car over and over with the most efficient assembly line processes. And at the time, in the evolution of the automobile industry, when no one or very few people had vehicles, it was a way that he could drive the price to an affordable point where people could acquire a vehicle, where they could buy a car. And for them, the novelty of and the expanded reach and the benefits of having an automobile far outweighed their desire to customize it in a certain color or a certain set of accessories or whatever. And so I think in the IT services world, much of that exists as well. But I think knowing your market and understanding what they need ahead of time and defining the market so that you can actually do that is critical. And it leans into sort of another one of our top 10 list items, which is you need to be proactive in the market and not reactive. I think many of us that have been around a long time sort of got conditioned to be reactive, particularly if you're a more technical person. React to what the market is doing, react to what vendors are doing, react to vendor leads, react to customer wants and desires. And, you know, oftentimes that meant that you couldn't proact. You couldn't think about how do we drive market share and market expansion, and how do we control the conversation by being proactive. And you do that by making sure that, you know, some of these things we talk about around SVP, which certainly you can learn more about that SVP analogy. It stands for specialize, verticalize, and productize on our website. Certainly go to revenuerocket.com. You can learn more about that, where a lot of those concepts came from. It's a platform for you to proact. And if you proact, as we call it, you'll drive up a lot more business and a lot more margin to your business, and we think it's important. On to another one of the top 10 lists. We oftentimes get asked, you know, what is the biggest impediment to people growing their IT services business? And if I had to pick one, it actually would be their inability to change, their lack of desire to embrace change and to embrace it in a way that would meaningfully impact their business. because they're stuck in the gravitational pull of history. And this is a super important concept. We see it from time to time with our own clients, maybe more often than we should. You know, we have clients that will hire us to help them kind of go through a transformation engagement, and they resist the changes that we recommend. We think that that is a big problem, because they're stuck in the gravity of what they know versus what could be better. And I would encourage everyone who's listening to be much more open to new ideas and not just dismiss them as that they don't apply to us or that can't work here, which is a human nature thing, right? It's easy to say, hey, we've done it this way for 15 or 20 years and it's worked for us. So what you're telling us or these new concepts might not work for us, so we're not willing to take that risk, even though what you've got isn't working as well as it could. And I think, you know, being open to that change paradigm to do things differently, to see what may occur, is important. Now, we've implemented, you know, lots and lots of SVP transformation engagements. Hundreds is probably the best way to put it. Once companies get their head around the concepts and implement the concepts, they see breakthrough changes to results. And we think that is critically important. But a big part of that success had to do with their willingness to change. I don't know, Ryan, if you have any thoughts on that.
It's probably the most critical part. If you're going to engage in any kind of strategy project, be willing to adapt and change your company to get there. And that growth mindset has to be in place. If you walk into a strategy project and think you're going to change by doing exactly what you've done in the past and what's worked for you, well, then you probably don't need the strategy project. You have to be willing to go where you perhaps don't know today, and then be able to put resources towards the execution of it. The words on the paper of a strategy project only go so far. It's the actual execution to get there. So, for example, we love looking at the Rockefeller habits and how they're able to create a strategic plan. Well, if you have a great one-page strategic plan, that's the start. It then has to move into execution. And if you don't have a change mindset to go after that, execution is difficult. But if you do, you can expect some great growth as long as you're patient and can stick with the process for more than a fleeting moment. So with that willingness to change also comes a commitment to the long term. I think, Mike, the big thing I'd add there is that you have to have a steady hand on the tiller.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these change initiatives to optimize your business for growth and profitability happen over a slower period of time. And what I mean by that is, you know, it can take years. Usually we tell our clients it takes up to a couple years to fully recognize these change initiatives. And I would say the same thing with marketing. Marketing is a marathon, not a sprint. It takes years of investment and focus on a consistent strategy to realize the results that I think you would find would be very practical. We have clients that get, you know, 50 plus inbound inquiries a month right now because they've subscribed to some of the concepts we're talking about today. I think most IT services companies would think that is nirvana, right? If you had 50 ideal customer inquiries to your business a month that had people contacting you to say, we need to learn more, we're interested in working with you, you'd say, wow, that's pretty impressive. But that only happens when you're willing to do things differently, when you're willing to, you know, specialize in the technology, pick a market where it's not crowded, aka a vertical market, productize your services so they're easy to buy, and then execute ruthlessly, execute with passion and focus and do everything with verve. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So I think, you know, winning in IT services has a lot to do with following your passion in the market, but also being able to be out front and lead in your market and be a voice for your clients to be successful overall in their business as well.
I think if you do it right, what happens is you've got a differentiated strategy And if you can differentiate yourself, things like price no longer become an issue. So if you do this right, you've got a competitive advantage that's differentiated, that is targeted towards a need where someone has budget, and then you get to be the best at what you do, which ultimately leads to happy employees, happier customers, and happy stakeholders as owners of the firm. So, you know, be aggressive in targeting a market, understanding that the implications could be greater growth and profitability.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, I think we're going to tie a ribbon on it. I don't know if we got to the full top 10 list, but I think we covered most of it. We wish you all the best for this third week in February 21. And we look forward to next week's podcast, where we'll continue to explore the depths of IT services growth through both organic strategies as well as M&A. Take care.